Hello. This sermon audio is a ministry of the Town Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. If you would like to learn more about us, how to connect, or how to support us, go to our website, thetownchurch.org. While listening to the Bible preached is a healthy part of our spiritual formation, it is not the whole picture. So if you aren't a part of a local church, we encourage you to prayerfully commit to a local body of believers where you live. We're glad you can join us, and we hope God uses the following sermon to reveal more of His glory to you.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you, JR. We're glad most of you are here, and also JR. My name is Vince. I'm one of the elders here. I wanted to point your attention to one thing before we get started. Over the last four weeks now, including this one, we've been working through a series on the church. Starting next week, we're going to jump into a series on Ecclesiastes. We're going to be working through the book of Ecclesiastes, where we are going to be seeing that God has, in His sovereignty, given us all kinds of things, good gifts, and He's given us times of trial and times of heartache and times of joy and struggle and all kinds of things. And all of those things, all of the things underneath the sun, as the author of Ecclesiastes would say, are coming from the sovereign hand of God. And so we're going to spend several months in Ecclesiastes looking at that. I would encourage you all to begin now looking at the book of Ecclesiastes, reading it. So the book of Psalms, Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes. Be reading through Ecclesiastes and begin to see the rich theology that's there, but also it's just beautiful writing, and it's not hopeless. And so that's where we're headed next. This week, though, we are looking at the last part of our series in what we've been working through called One Body. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. That's where we will be over the course of our time together this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll get there. The last weeks, we've been talking about the church, because on February 2nd, we made the transition as a church to move from a church that meets at 10 a.m. here in this building to a church that then now meets at 9 a.m. and also 10:45 a.m. and then across the city in different homes on different days and all of that. And what we wanted to communicate to everyone is that we are still one body. And so we have taken some time to look at that. We are meeting in various different groups, multiple different things. We are not multiple bodies. We are still one body. And how did we start this series? If you remember back 3 weeks, we began by looking at what is most foundational to the church. And what is that? Jesus Christ. That's where we started. We looked at Colossians 1, where Paul gives this short greeting to the recipients of the letter. And he begins this letter by saying, God is the one who's made it possible for you to be a part of this family. God is the one who has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of His beloved Son. It's in Jesus that you have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And he's talking about salvation, and he can't help but to spring into this sort of what we would see as a Broadway musical, singing about who Jesus is. He can't help but scream about who Jesus is, praises about Jesus. And so he jumps right in. He is God. He is first. He is by Him and through Him and in Him all things were created. And through Jesus, all things were created, but they're created for Him. He's the goal of all creation. Everything exists now, and everything that exists in the future and everything that exists in the past has all been created and held together by Jesus. And then Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, He, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. That's how we started. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, that same Jesus that he was just singing about. And so where do we start this conversation about the church? Jesus. What overwhelms our conversation about the church? Jesus does. And so that's where we started. And from there, we moved into a discussion about the church itself, answering the question, what is the church? What is the body? Do you remember the answer to that? We gave a definition, and here's what the definition was. The church is the community of all true believers for all time. The church is the community of all true believers for all time. And then we zoomed in from there a bit to what probably felt more like an in-house discussion about leadership. Who are the leaders of the church? We see in Scripture that the leaders of the church are elders, godly men who are modeling lives of repentance and belief in the gospel, men who are leading and guiding and protecting and shepherding the flock of God. And in that discussion, I asked you all to be praying for the elders of the town church. And let me just ask that question. Have you all been doing that? We would ask you again to be praying for the elders of the town church, spending some time over your days in the week praying for our leadership and praying that our hearts would be directed to Jesus. We are all a part of the body. The body is the community of believers, the church. The body is people, right? Not a building, not an organization. And so this morning, we're going to zoom in a bit more, and we're going to get practical with you all. This is where you all fit in. You thought you were off the hook, that we were just going to talk about the church and what it was and how the elders fit into that. And no, we're going to get in to answer the question, the church, who are her members? And so we've established that the church is the community of all true believers of all time. And so here's what we mean by that. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a believer, then you are a member of God's church. You hear that? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that the penalty for our sins has been paid by Jesus, you believe that, you have confessed your sin, you have turned from your sin and turned to Jesus, then you are a member of God's church. The church is the community of all true believers for all time. However, if that's where our definition of the body ends, if that's our definition and that's where our definition ends, what kind of life may that lead some to live? Understanding that the requirement to be a member of the body is that you're a believer, that may lead some to sit on their couch at home and resist community altogether, right? I'm a believer, and I'm going to sit on my couch and just call it that. Let's contextualize that. Let's bring that into how we would maybe think of it. It may lead some, that kind of definition may lead some to the trail that goes this way, that they would say, I'm going to hike up trail after trail after trail and worship God in the mountains, in a temple. Not made by hands, but made by the mountain hardware factory nearest me. All right, and we can contextualize this in all kinds of ways, right? You could fit into your little box of how you would want to move away from community. There are lots of ways we are willingly replacing Christian community with selfish endeavors, aren't there? And so you can fill that in whatever way looks best for you. But if we use that definition only, we don't have a body, do we? We don't have a local body. We have a loose affiliation in name only with members who also say they're a part of this church. And what they mean by that is a part of this building. I go to that building sometimes on Sundays. And here's what that kind of mentality it leads us to. It leads us to a belief that we're more like a membership into Sam's Club, right? Or Costco, if you're more snobby. But you have that, right? I mean, let's just be honest there. So you have that kind of membership fee where you pay something and you get a computer-generated picture of your face printed on plastic. And then that gives you rights to a 50-gallon drum of mayonnaise or a pallet of underwear. That sort of thing, right? That's what you walk out of there. But that's not at all the kind of community that we see in Scripture, that we see talked about in Scripture about the local church. And so what is a member? What is a true member of the body of Jesus? That's the question we need to answer this morning. And so here's what I want to do. I want to be careful. I want to be careful to not make laws where Scripture doesn't make laws. And so I want to be careful on that. And so to do that, what I want to do is look at Scripture. I want to look at Scripture. If we have the body and we understand that the body is the community of members of God's church, they're believers, it's more than just paying into some spiritual dues, right? I've done this, I've checked it off the list, and now I'm a part. If we are the church, the body, the very group of people purchased by the blood of Jesus, then we must be unified around a biblical approach to being a part of this one body. And so this morning we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to see how Paul throughout the letter talks about this same issue. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 if you're not there. 1 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. So it's written to a church, not just some people group in a city, but to the church in Corinth. And if you read into 1 Corinthians at all, you'll quickly find out that they were a messed up church with lots and lots of problems, strange problems that I hope we never have to deal with at all. Lots of strange problems. But here's what I find interesting from coming from Paul's mouth. After addressing all of their problems for 10 plus chapters, he still considers them a church. He says to them, you are the church. And so he talks to them about how they should then act as a church, as a body of believers, as a community of believers. And he goes into this discussion at the very beginning of chapter 12 about the different ways that they can move in together to use their different spiritual gifts. Right, so they're using their different spiritual gifts. Now, if you're not from churchy church land, if you're not from a church setting, then let me just describe what spiritual gifts are, right? Because that sounds like a really strange thing. Here's what it's not, right? A spiritual gift is not what you, husband, on your first anniversary tells your wife because you forgot to buy a present, right? Baby, my love for you can't be expressed in material things. My love for you is a spiritual gift, right? That's not what a spiritual gift is. And so, guys, don't be losers in that way, all right? Spiritual gifts are given to every believer by God for the purpose of building up the church. They are given to every believer by God to encourage others in the church. They are abilities given by God for the use in the context of community. Paul says in chapter 12, verse 7, these are given for the common good. They're given for the common good. There's not one spiritual gift that is to be used or practiced on yourself. Right? That's not to be something that you are given to use only for yourself. If you're a believer, you have been given spiritual gifts and abilities by God for use in, on, and for the community of believers. They are not for you. So that means you actually have to be around other believers. And so that's how Paul starts off chapter 12. Now let's look at chapter 12, starting in verse 12. Verse 12, showing here that the church is one body with many members. Here's how Paul starts off. He starts off, for just as the body, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Stop right there for just a second. Here's what he's saying. We are all one body. There's lots of us. We're all one body. It doesn't matter if you have red hair or green hair. You're all a part of the body together. That's what he's saying in verse 12, those first few verses there. Look at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Now, what do we get from that? Let's stop there. What do we get from that? There's one body, but it is all made up of many members. So Paul continues to use this imagery that we see in Colossians of the body, right? Christ is the head of the body, the church. And then in 1 Corinthians, we see the same imagery, the body. The body. I think it's a great, great sort of tool to get us thinking about this. We as a church are one body. Paul uses that body imagery to show us what that looks like. So the body has many members, many body parts, many appendages. Sure, there's a foot and there's a hand and there's an ear and there's an eye and there's a nose and on we could go, right? The hip bone connected to the leg bone. And we could all sing that, and all of those pieces are connected to be the body. Now, so think about your own body, something that you all are very familiar with thinking about often. Think about your own body, and here's the question. Is your hand you? No, it's not, right? It's part of you, but it's not you. Your foot, is your foot you? It's not, but it's part of you. Your nose is not you, right? On some of you, it's more of you, but it's not you. Many different parts or members combine to make you, you. Not one of them alone is you. Y'all get that? Really simple here. Paul's dropping it down to this simple, and I'm bringing it way down for me, right? And apart from one of them, right, you apart from one of them is not you, right? If I look out and I see somebody without a nose that I knew had a nose last week, it's just not the same person, right? Their glasses don't stay up. There's two monocles. They're trying to work this thing out, right? And so that's the way that works. Your hand cannot separate from you and become its own body, right? Which would be really strange. Do you ever have this moment? I talked about this in the first service, and I was looked at like I was strange. You ever have that moment where you fall asleep on your arm, and you've slept there for a long time, and you have that weird experience where it's just completely gone, right? It's gone. And you wake up and roll over, and it slaps you in the face, and you're worried that someone else is in your bed with you, right? That's not supposed to be there. That is now slapping you in the face, right? Outside of that experience, your different parts all go together to form one body, right? You're not going to have this experience where they're existing on their own. By the way, that's why Paul uses the imagery of the human body and not the earthworm. Now, bring that into, because you cut an earthworm in half and you got two earthworms, right? Now, bring that into the church, right? Bring that into the church. As a church, we are one body. Many different members, but one body, right? We're one body. If I look out and I see a nose, I can't say to that person, well, I'm not a nose, so I guess I can't be a part of this body. No, we look out and we see a nose and we say, I'm so thankful that I'm a toe. Right, and on, because there are different parts of the body. The body is one, but it has many different and varied members. And that's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of the church. If you are a believer, you don't have the option to say, I don't belong. Yes, I'm a believer, but I don't really fit into the church. It's touchy-feely, it's something I don't like, I don't fit into this part or I don't fit into that part, it's this or that, it's not enough of this or it's not enough of that. If you say that, right, then maybe you've got some other questions to be working through. You cannot say, I don't belong. And if you do, it may be that you actually don't belong, but it's not because of the body. It's not because of the body. It's because you think you are a part of something that you actually aren't. And I know that gets confusing. Does that make sense? I was trying to be kind and trying to use imagery there. I'll say it in a much more straightforward way. If you think you're a believer and you want nothing to do with the body of Christ, the church, then it may actually be that you're not a believer. If you think you're a believer and you want nothing to do with the body of Christ, the people of God, then it may actually be that you are not a believer, because there's no such thing as a true Christian who has intentionally chosen to distance himself from the gathered body of believers under the local and plural and qualified and gifted and responsible leadership of the elders. There's no such thing as that person who has distanced himself from the church. Now, I get it. Our minds automatically go to the, well, what about the one guy in the village in Africa? He's the only believer in his village. I get that that's where our minds go. And here's my question. Do you think he really likes that? Do you think he wants to be the only one? He doesn't. I guarantee that's not what that guy wants. If you have intentionally chosen to distance yourself from the gathered body of believers under local leaders who love and care for you, you may not be a true Christian. And I don't say that at all with any hint of judgment or animosity or any sort of anger toward people. I say that as a pastor who loves you, who cares for you and wants to see you growing to be more like Jesus in the body, in biblical community. So please don't hear me saying at all that I'm done with you. I'm done with you, because that's not the case at all. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying reconsider. Reconsider and be a part of the body with whom you've been called to be a part. Now, I get it that a lot of you don't need to hear this because you're here, right? You're sitting in this room this morning. You're here and you love being with other believers. And so you've already checked out. And maybe it's true that these words are best heard by those who are listening to the audio online. Hi, Mom. And my mom doesn't need to hear this. But maybe it's best heard by those who are listening online or sitting on their couch or out running on a trail. Maybe these words are best heard by someone that you're thinking of right now who needs to be more connected to the body. And then I would just tell you this. Then you have a responsibility to lovingly and carefully and in a winsome way call them back to be a part of the body, strongly encouraging them to be a part of the body. Our vision as a church is to see the gospel transform everything. You guys have heard that before. We believe it can actually happen. We believe that it can actually happen, and we want to see our vision worked out in our mission as a church. And do you know what the first part of our mission is? We have them painted in nice, bright paintings for you as you leave this room. But the very first part of our mission is this, is that we worship God in community. And that's very intentional wording. It's not just worship God. It's worshiping God in community. We see the gospel and the ability to transform everything worked out best when that's done in community. Worshiping God in community. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for us. So please don't hear me saying these things out of some sort of guilt toward you, some sort of judgment toward you. I'm saying these things out of great care and concern and love for this body of believers. Paul continues to build this idea that there are many members and one body by showing us not just that there are many members, but that each member is a necessary part. Every member is a necessary part of the body, and he gives three reasons that I want to look at quickly. Every member is a necessary part of the body for unity and for care and for service to and through the body. First, for unity. Look at verse 21. Says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. Do you see what's necessary here? Do you see the necessity of each member of the body? We cannot say to one another, meh, it's fine that Rick's not here. It's fine. We didn't really need Rick around anyway. We cannot say that. As one body with many members, we cannot say that. And Paul uses this imagery of the body and its parts again, and it's so helpful, I think. Have any of you ever broken a bone, right, in your body? I said that last time, too. It's got to be in your body, or it's really strange if it's not. Broken a body outside, or broken a bone outside your body, seek help right away. Have any of you broken a bone? I'll just leave it at that. All right, so you know what that's like. I know this guy, a friend of mine, we'll call him Vince, to protect him. He was riding his bike through the parking lot of Kmart, and on his way through the parking lot at Kmart, he ran straight into this curb on his bike, right? So for some reason, they had messed up the parking lot and put a curb right in the middle. It wasn't Vince's fault, but this curb's right in the middle, and he just runs head on into this curb on his bike, right? And what happens is the fork goes this way, bends in half, splays open. The back and front tire blow simultaneously. The front tire flies off, and so does Vince, and he lands down kind of like this and gets up and checks out all the bleeding, pooled parts on and looks, and his pinky finger is broken at the knuckle like this, right? So you've got this finger that's sticking out. And there was not a time there where I thought, I have no clue what I'm going to do, because I was on my way to church. I was up here preaching like this, all right? And so people thought I was pointing, and I was not doing that. Now, when Vince was riding through this parking lot, breaking his finger in half, here's what had to happen. He had to wear a cast from his pinky all the way up to his forearm for 8 weeks. And we'll just get this out there. Vince was an idiot in a lot of ways. But here's what he noticed, that one finger was greatly missed. That one finger was greatly missed. I couldn't type at all. I'd use a dictation app software on my computer to write my sermons. And it was during the time where we were going through Ezra and Nehemiah. And oddly enough, names like Shechaniah and Shelomith and Bigvi are not in the dictation apps that I was using. I couldn't tie shoes. I couldn't button my own pants very well. I did, but I couldn't do it very well. And there was not one moment that I thought to myself, meh, it's fine. I don't really need that finger anyway. There's not one moment where I thought that, not once. Each member of the church in the body is necessary to be unified. We all have a place. I'll say it this way. For the person who avoids being around community in the church, that is maybe one of the most selfish acts you can do as a Christian. And here's why that's the case. You're assuming that you don't need us, and maybe that's fine. But in your assumptions that you don't need us, what you don't realize is that you're depriving us of you. Does that make sense? You're depriving us of you being a part. And I've told some of you this in very, very straightforward ways as you've wandered away from community. You breaking off from the body is depriving us of you. And that's selfish to the core. As a body, we experience division, not unity, when one from our community decides to run away. When one from our community decides to wander off, each member in the body is necessary for unity. For unity. Paul goes on. We're also needed for care. Each part of the body is necessary for care. Look at verse 25 again. He says that there may be no division in the body, and then he goes on, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Each member in the body is necessary for care. If one member suffers, then all of us suffer together. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Don't read into this and think, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer with anyone else. And maybe you don't, but I guarantee that in your time of suffering, you're going to want others to jump in and care for you. Each of us is necessary for care. The second part of our mission is that we would love others. Do you realize that you are able to care for and love others in a way that no one else can? Let me say that again. Do you realize that you, yes, you, are able to care for and love others like no one else can? You have experienced something, some kind of tragedy, some kind of joy, some sort of encouragement, some sort of hardship that gives you the ability to love and care for someone in this body like no one else can. Like no one else can. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, or do you think that your township leader is the only one who can do that, or the elders of this church are the only ones who can care, or the people who are paid staff, those are the ones who can truly love others? God has allowed you to go through what you have gone through so that you can care for someone else who has gone through something so similar that only you can care for them. I think we need to understand that as a body. We're all in this place for a reason, and I want everyone to hear this. I want everyone to hear this well. I want college students to hear this well. I want older people, you can define that however you want. I want older people to hear this well. You're a necessary part of this body. I want kids who are here to hear that well. If you're a believer in Jesus, you have a part of this body. And I get it. Some would say, but I'm just a college student. I don't have anything to contribute, anything to offer. And here's what I say. That's wrong and selfish. Yeah, I've been praying that every one of us would be challenged to be more a part of the body than we are right now. Kirsten and I prayed last night that we would, as a family, know how we can give and care for and pour into this body more than we do now. I've been praying that for us. You can care for others like no one else can, and you are here for that purpose. And so don't waste that. Each member in the body is necessary for unity and for care. Paul goes on, what else? Look at verse 27. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. We simply don't have time to go through all of those spiritual gifts Paul mentions here. But here's what I think we should know from these things. I think Paul is showing us that each member in the body is necessary for service inside and outside the body. Each member of the body is necessary for unity. Each member of the body is necessary for care. Each member of the body is necessary for service inside and outside of the body. Every one of us has a way that we're able to serve that is needed in and among the body. And here's what that goes against. That completely goes against the consumeristic mentality of the American church, doesn't it? Where I get to come here in on Sunday mornings and feel good, and I get to hear some ways about how I can be a better person, but they better not tell me things that I don't want to hear and talk to me about this or that I don't want to be about, or I am going somewhere else. Now, where is community in that? Now, I'm not saying ditch good, sound doctrine altogether to find community, right? You can get that in a cycling club. I'm saying if there's some sort of personal, selfish little aspect of the church because they meet at this time and you'd rather sleep in and go at this time, then you're ditching community that God has you a part of. Where is love in that? Where is service in that? We see this as a benefit of the body, service to the body, not just inside the church, but outside too. That the next part of our mission flows right into that we are to engage the culture, that we are to engage the culture. Do you realize that you live in your house, in your neighborhood, because I don't? And that's creepy, right? If I did, it'd be really creepy. But you live in that house in your neighborhood because I don't. And you work in the job that you have because I don't. And you are the father to your children because I'm not. And on and on and on we could go with all the things that you are that someone else is not. That goes both ways. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, we're told that God put us on the face of this earth and he has determined the days that we are here. He's determined that. He's determined the places that we will live. He's determined all of those things. And do you know why he's determined those things? He's determined those things that you would live there and work there to serve those people well and point them to Jesus. You're there, I'm not. And so you are there to engage the culture. We desperately need you. He determined that you would work in that place to serve those people around you and point them to Jesus. We need you. As a church, we need you. The elders cannot reach everyone. The staff cannot reach everyone. The township can't reach it. But you are part of the body to reach those around you. And then what flows right from that as a part of our mission as a church is this, is that we get to seek to make disciples of Jesus. We get to see people coming to know Jesus, growing in their relationship with Jesus, and following Jesus, the very one who is the head of the body, the church. We're all members of this body, each one of us with specific ways to serve and love and care for and proclaim Jesus and the gospel to others. And so here's my question for us, and we'll be finished. My question for us, myself included, is this. How can you grow in being more and more a part of the body, this body, if this is your church, how can you grow in being more and more a part of this church? How can you, not the person sitting next to you, not the person who's not here and should be hearing this, no, but how can you be growing to be more a part of the body than you are right now? Maybe for you, it's being involved in a township, actually stepping out of your comfortable little introverted shell and being a part of a community. If you're not in a township, you are missing us. That's a guarantee. But we're also missing you. We're missing out on not being in relationship with you. Maybe for you, it's being involved in serving somewhere. You hear us talking about ways that we can serve together. You can be on this team or that team, and you'd say, well, you don't want to hear me sing up front. I can sing well in the shower, but not up front. And that's fine, right? But you can push a broom, right? You can do a lot of other things that are a part of being a service to this body. And you're maybe anticipating that someone else has got that for you. Don't. Maybe for you, it's you need to grow in just being here on Sunday, worshiping God in community. You're here every now and again, but everything and anything is your excuse to not be around the people of God. Soccer games and concerts the nights before, and I sneezed on Wednesday, or maybe someone else did, and taking a break from this or that, and I'm going to move away from the church for a while, I'm going to go off hiking, and none of those things are bad. But when we use those as our excuse to not be around the people of God, we need to grow. We, the body, are missing out when you're away. Do you hear that? I want you to hear that well. We as a body are missing out when you are away. This is not about you. It's about the body that you've left without an appendage. So how can you grow and change? Paul ends this this chapter by saying that strange line at the end, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And what's he getting at there? Do you know what's next? Right? If you've been to a wedding, you know what's next, right? Chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind. And then he ends chapter 13, verse 13, and he says this, so now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Why is that the case? You know, Jesus says in John chapter 15 that greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, how's that about self? It's not. As the ultimate in selflessness altogether. And so this love that Paul is leaving us with, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. That was Jesus. He's our example, but not just our example. He's also our sacrifice. John tells us in 1 John 4, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Not that we loved God and did something great to be a part of the church. No, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the one who took on our wrath. And in doing that, we get favor. Christ Jesus shed his blood to purchase the church, the body, one body with many members. Out of love, he purchased us. And so, how are you a part of the church? How are you a part? Can I pray for us this morning that God would lead us in that direction, that God would show us ways that we can be growing? Can I pray for us, and then we'll celebrate who Jesus is? Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning knowing that you are a God who is above all gods. You are a God who is great. You are a God who has had a plan from the very beginning to send your Son as a propitiation, as one who would take on our wrath, and in doing that, show us favor with you. You gave that. He shed his blood so that the church could be purchased, so that we could be a part of your family. You did that, God. And our temptation so often as selfish humans, my temptation is to think, this is about me. Being a part of this church is about me and what I can get out of it. And God, I pray that you would rearrange our thoughts on that. Where there are areas that we can grow in our understanding of being a part of the body of Jesus, God, I pray that you would show us what those things are so that we would choose to move in that direction. But God, we need your help. We need your help. I pray that we would be about these things so that we can see the gospel transform everything. That we would have a desire to worship you with others. That we would have a desire to love others. That we would have a desire to engage the people around us that you've placed around us. That you would give us a desire to make disciples, to see disciples being made. See people following you. Give us hearts that want to know where we can grow and change. We need your help. Amen.